Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
It's the build-up show, Liverpool, Southampton on a Friday night at the St. Mary's. Wow. Chris Pajak.
Hi.
Hi, mate.
You good?
I am.
Yeah?
I am.
Buzzing?
I am.
Good. Excellent.
I am.
Steve, how are you two?
I am. I am as well.
Chris, it is the next in a very long line of the biggest game. Like, every game this season's been the biggest game, so it makes, you know, it makes perfect sense that a Southampton game should be the biggest game as well.
Why not? Mm. Friday night football as well.
Looking forward to it.
I am actually strange. I know you love Friday night football, but I generally speaking don't. But I think, you know, with them, with Man City obviously playing in the FA Cup at the weekend and stuff, to get to go above them and play ahead of them is obviously a good thing. I also think, you know, I mentioned on the podcast the other day that Liverpool are more used to these types of games of football where, you know, if there's just one game of football or two games of football on, you know, the eyes of the country are on you, and Southampton don't play in those types of games as much as us. So I think it's probably a little bit better suited to this Liverpool side.
It's massive for both teams, Steve.
It's huge, yeah.
It's, you know, they are, things have eased off a little bit at the bottom. It's very, very tight, but Cardiff not picking up the win at the weekend, not taking anything off Chelsea, when really, let's be honest, they probably should have done by a ban, awful, awful refereeing. We're recording this just so you know, we're recording this ahead of the City Cardiff game.
City beating Cardiff.
Ahead of City absolutely smashing Cardiff. Ahead of Cardiff just basically stepping to one side and Olaying the ball into the back of the net. So we're going to talk as though Cardiff haven't picked up any points and there is a 5-point gap. So it's slightly more comfortable, but there's a real opportunity. Southampton probably two games from survival, realistically. It's not a must-win for them, but they can play with a sense of freedom because they've got that little point cushion and it's a big game. If you can't get up for a game like this, well, you know.
Yeah, at the weekend as well, Cardiff play Burnley and they're the two teams around Southampton. So although that, listen, they won't be expecting to get any from Liverpool, you know, in terms of like, when I imagine when they're looking at their fixtures to go, where are we going to get points? It's more of a case of, well, we might get something off Liverpool and we have to win that one. Mm-hmm. But like you say, there's a reason why we're top and they're down there. It's because we're better than them. And they've been good in recent weeks, and since the new manager's come in, they've probably been in mid-table form. You know, yeah. if you put that over the whole course of season, they're a mid-table side, which is kind of what you've thought of Southampton as that for a while now. So it won't be easy. It's miles away. It's a Friday night away game. I don't think that's ever easy against a team scrapping for relegation. So, and we haven't played that well recently, to be honest. You know, we've had to scrape through a few. So it might be that again, where you just got to go and hook or by crook win it. Because like you say, we keep saying, like, you know, we can afford a slip up here and there, maybe. But I don't think Southampton away is one of the ones where you can. You've got to win it. I mean, you can't not win this one if you really, really want to win the league. I think so.
Yeah.
It's definitely must win for us, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. What's your thoughts on that? Because I think Steve's right there, is that, look, ideally, you just want to go and win every game between now and the end of the season and see whether City can match that kind of pace. But moreover, kind of like the Spurs game is a bit like this as well. It's so early in that run. It would be nice, if we're going to drop points, it would be preferable to do it once City have maybe wavered a little bit themselves. You start to make, I think you throw the initiative too much towards Man City to drop points at this stage.
Absolutely. I don't think you can think about dropping any points. You've got to believe you can win every game we've got left. And realistically, because City are probably thinking the same thing, mm-hmm. you know, that's what you've got to do and hope they slip up. I mean, I'm not too sure I agree with a lot of what I've heard about so far about the game against Southampton. I think they'll be up for it because it's Friday night in front on the lights, in front of the cameras. They're on a run. They're apparently in the form table. They're sixth at the moment. They're playing really well. Yeah. They've upped their game, you know, considerably since the new manager came in. They apparently, Ward-Prowse has run the most of all players in the last 11 games they played. No other, you know, including all the opposition players. Yeah. He's outrun everyone. They've had more sprints than everyone else. They press better than everyone else. They're on a good run of form. They won't want to drop points against us. They want us. They'll see it as a marker, you know, about how good they really are.
It's a free hit for them, really, isn't it? No one's expecting them to do anything, so they'll go out there and they'll hopefully play with a little bit of freedom, which may well suit us a little bit.
If they beat us, they're probably thinking, beat them and we're safe. Especially because Burnley play Cardiff, and one of those are going to drop points, or maybe both of them are going to drop points. They'll be seeing it as right. If we can beat Liverpool, which we're more than capable, they'll be thinking of doing, then that pretty much guarantees us our survival. And listen, we are better than them, and we are. But like last year, Brighton stayed up by beating Man United at home in a late Friday night game. And Southampton will be having similar thoughts to that. So yeah. I agree. I think, listen, every game we play, we should be favourites to win because of where we are on the table now. But I was more confident going to Fulham, for example, who I think are absolute crap.
Yeah.
And we nearly made a mess of that.
Yeah.
Where I actually think Southampton are quite a good side. So I do think it's a dangerous game.
I think Southampton have been a good side for a long time. Yeah. And I was really surprised how poor they were in the first half of this season.
Yeah. Mark Hughes.
It just didn't seem It didn't seem right. And, you know, I think they're back now to being a very dangerous side.
I think Hasenhüttl's a great fit.
They still
fit
don't score a lot of goals. That's one thing in our favour. You know, they're not prolific, you know, around the box. But he's certainly made them a tough side.
I think it's telling that, you know, obviously no Danny Ings for this one because he can't play because he's still on loan from us, which I think a lot of Southampton fans in the early season didn't realise, Chris, which is quite funny. So yeah, you're right.
They also didn't realise he was going to be injured so much.
Well, shock.
And apparently the reason that they've not signed anyone in the January transfer window and stuff is because they've earmarked that money for the permanent signing of Danny Ings.
They've got to buy him,
yeah. So they're also a little bit hindered next season because they need to get a full season out of him.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's a talent. Seven league goals for him this season, which is a pretty decent return. I think we all know Danny Ings is a good player, but it's what they do in the absence. You were talking about the fact they've had Redmond playing up front because they need something, because I think Shane Long's got one goal this season, Charlie Austin's got two. Charlie Austin, it feels like he scores more goals than he does. Now, I know he's kind of... He's got one knee, and it's got like a lazy band holding it together kind of thing. But so it's been a bit of a lord of diminishing returns for him. But if he feels like a lad who's always going to be dangerous when he's on the pitch.
Yeah, they end up with Redmond on his own up front for a while. They were playing one up front. Recently, I think they've been playing two. But like I said, Danny Ings played the last game against Brighton, for example, and he can't play. So he might go back to a one and just have Redmond on his own and maybe try and go more of a... I don't know, 4-5-1 maybe, I don't know.
Well, Sean, you pointed to me, they've been playing three at the back, but they switched to a mad 4-4-2 at the weekend, where it wasn't our traditional 4-4-2. They didn't play with wingers. They basically played with four centre-mids, effectively.
Yeah. They've been three at the back for ages under Hasenhüttl, but like I say, Brighton, maybe because it was just Brighton, I don't know. They went to a four, but like I say, it was like almost a box four kind of thing.
4-2-2-2.
Yeah, it was very much four centre-mids almost, but... It'll be interesting what you do. I think they'll go back to a five, if I'm honest. I think they might go somewhere like a 3-5-2 or 3.
They'll want to try and look after our fullbacks, won't they?
Yeah, because
they want to keep them quiet.
And also, they've got young Valerie playing, and he's been good for them at right back, don't get me wrong. But you might want to give him some protection against Sadio Mane.
Yeah.
And in which case, then if you do go to a back five, you've got your centre half, you can come over and double up as well.
It's interesting because something we've been talking about a lot recently, Chris, is how teams set up against us, how they try to make us play a particular way. What I thought was interesting about the Spurs game was obviously teams are saying, well, go on Liverpool, go and use the wide areas and see what you can do. We're crafting far and more space for the fullbacks to have an impact further up the pitch, which actually informs your midfield selection a lot, which is why Wijnaldum and Milner were utilised in the way they were against Spurs. But also, you've now got the option of Adam Lallana to come in if we want to try and get more out of the middle of the park. What I'm kind of driving at is that we're... less and less, there are less and less ways of stopping this side from playing. So we should take encouragement from it, regardless of, they're going to be a good team. You know, he's a good fit. He's got a good brand of football. He's got them running. He's got them pressing. But we are, okay, yeah, we're not absolutely flying, but we have learned more and more ways of beating
and
different
And that's it, that's it. You know, we've said for months now that this is a grown-up Liverpool side, and I think at first when teams, certainly in the Manchester City game where we lost to them 2-1, you know, we struggled with trying to create chances from out wide and utilising that space that they were giving us, but over the last sort of 2-3 months, we've really started gotten used to that, and we've had these sort of pattern plays where you know what's coming. The ball might go quite deep to Mo Salah over on the right-hand side, and Bobby will slide across, and the 1-2's coming, and we've seen that more and more as the season's got on, and we're starting to see success from it, you know, and not always goals, but sometimes corners, and we'll get a goal from that and stuff like that. So, and also that, like, the big switch is always on, isn't it? You know, we're comfortable playing in a tight area to switch the ball over to Robertson or Mane in space and then attack from that side on the backside. So Liverpool are just getting better at what teams are showing them to do. Yeah. And that's the mark of a great side. Yeah.
The one player I want to talk about, Dad, Mohamed Salah, you know, we've been saying for a while when he was going to break his drought by scoring a really, really dodgy deflected goal or whatever. Now, you know, as much as George Sefton tried to give the goal to him at the weekend, and we all wanted it to desperately be so, it wasn't. It was quite clearly Toby Alderweireld. But I guess we're all hoping that, you know, you look at his reaction, you look at the way, you know, how much it meant to him and
sorry,
all that kind
Mo
of stuff.
Mo didn't even get the assist. Not, you know what I mean? You can't possibly give him the goal.
Yeah. It wasn't just him, though, was it? I mean, I couldn't really see what happened from where I was sitting. I knew Salah had headed the ball towards goal, and I knew it looked like Lloris had got the ball, and then it was in the net. But I was so relieved. I thought, oh, Salah scored. Thank God for that. Because it came up on the board,
yeah,
Salah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I thought, brilliant, that's all we want. But we've been saying the whole game, we've been saying, he's going to get a bobble in a minute, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
So it was just brilliant.
And the fingers crossed, of course, is that whether he got the goal.
He friggin' celebrated like he got the goal.
Yeah. Let's hope him going through the process as though he scored the goal. Psychologically, he feels that he has. He's got that monkey off his back and he can just keep
But he
on.
Did have that lovely comment afterwards, didn't he? The one you want to hear, it doesn't matter who scored the goals as long as we win the game, you know. Yeah,
thanks, Toby.
And it was much more important that we actually won the game than he scored a goal.
Yeah. You know, he said it as well. He said, I'm not bothered how many goals I score. I want to win the Premier League.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to this season. Last season was about the Golden Boot for him because we had no chance of winning the league. Well, this season's about the Premier League because we've got a chance.
I mean, now it's something like 1-11 or something ridiculous like that. But he's going to score soon, so it doesn't really, you know. And it may well be Friday night, and that'll be great.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's due one, isn't he, Steve? And I think Chris is spot on there that last season, at this time last season, there was a real push to get him the Golden Boot. It became a thing. It became a thing we were chasing because the league was done. And we were trying to make sure we finished in the top four, of course. But that almost became our win in the league, was getting him that Golden Boot. Whereas it just feels this time around as though they're definitely still trying to get him to, you know, to get him the 50 goals, to get him to break the Liverpool record, albeit, you know, we can't do the Premier League one anymore. But, you know, it's great to hear Salah say things like, well, look, just win, because let's be honest, that is the most important thing. We can't afford to have Mo Salah up there on this pedestal trying to, you know, throw
he's,
random
balls. But he's having a terrible season and he's only two goals off being the top goal scorer.
Chris mentioned before about teams trying to get us to play how they want us to play, and they want us to play not through Mo Salah. The last thing they want is Salah on the ball. He gets it, and there's two or three around him, and that's why. You know, you're playing against the back five a lot of the time, and Trent and Robertson are in acres of space. And in that situation, it's going to be Firmino more likely than not getting on the end of a cross. You know, it just the way the shape of the body shape, the way they play, I mean, it's obvious. Sadio Mane ghosting around the back post from Trent crosses. It all makes sense. Teams are terrified of Mo Salah. I don't care. You know, he hasn't scored for a while. Their main plan going into the game is right. If we lose, it won't be because we haven't given one-on-one against our defenders, because you can't win like that.
Yeah.
We saw all last year, we've seen at times this season. If he gets on one-on-one, if he gets one-on-one with your defender in the box, he's either going to score or you're going to foul him and give a penalty away.
Yeah.
So, although, he hasn't played as well as he can, and last year was ridiculous and them heights were hard to hit, but he has a massive impact on games still. Mm-hmm. It's still Mo Salah who's impacting games a lot, so Southampton's game plan on Friday night, the first thing they'll say is, right, who do we stop? And then we go from there. And it's got to be Salah.
Yeah.
Because if you say, right, we're going to focus our energy on stopping Sadio Mane, again, he's a world-class player, so it would make sense. But then you're leaving Mo Salah one-on-one with Ryan Burton, then there's only going to be one winner in that. So that's the thing with us. It is almost a pick your poison, and I thought Chris made a great point in that we're winning how teams are trying to make us play, and that great teams do that. So they want Trent and Robbo on the ball, and we're like, fine, we'll put Trent and Robbo on the ball, and watch this cross goal.
Yeah.
You know, both goals come from crosses from fullbacks at the weekend. Don't they? We've scored them all season, so it must be really hard to game plan against us. And as good as Southampton has been, I don't think they've got any great defenders. I don't think any of them are of an amazing standard. So
the Sal thing,
I still fancy him. I still fancy one of those three up front to do really well.
That's the thing. Like the Sal thing, I'm not arsed. I mean, the problem is with someone like Salikas is he's got fans, and he's got fans who follow Liverpool because of him. The people who support Mo Salah first. And that's why I get, like, there's a pressure that comes with all that. I'm not, provided he's not, provided his dip of form is not to the detriment of the side. So the thing is, we're not carrying Mo Salah at the moment. You know, he's had a couple of subpar performances in this spell, which is fine, because I know Mane's been electric during that time, but then he's had dips during the season.
Mane's been electric during this time because of what Steve's talking about, because there's two men over on Mo Salah. You watch, whenever Mo Salah gets into the box and he's one-on-one with the fullback, he's not one-on-one with the fullback. There's a midfielder blocking the cutback onto his left foot every single time. I did the Stats and Tactics show on this like a week ago on the website. So we analysed a load of instances of Salah going into the box. The other fullback's not trying to get behind. He's purposefully running 2 yards behind Mo. So that when he stops and cuts in, that's when they'll try and win the ball. But what Mo's doing is he's still getting passes off. There's two players there, he'll pass off Firmino, then all of a sudden it's out to Mane. You know what I mean? And Mane's whipping them into the goal. Yeah. That's what Liverpool are doing.
There must be millions of still photographs of Mo Salah standing with the ball and like five men in front of him. Mm-hmm. I mean, because that happens every game.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact is that we're not reliant on Mo Salah to score goals. But how many times have you seen like a top goal scorer in a team go through a goal drought and the team are just rubbish because they're drawing or losing? It doesn't really matter because you've now got someone who's scored as many goals as him. He's also two goals off being top goal scorer.
How good the season is Lacazette having, by the way? Brilliant.
How good a player is he?
Brilliant. 11 Premier League goals maybe this season for Lacazette. Yeah. Aubameyang, he's around the same mark. We got Mane and Salah on about 18.
I don't think it's a coincidence that we're getting three players in the middle of the box, like on their own.
Yeah.
So Sadio Mane at Watford, Firmino the other day against Tottenham. There's no coincidence why that's happening, because where are the two centre-halves? They're slightly that way, just ever so slightly towards where Mo Salah could or should be. And then all of a sudden someone's on their own because the two against one. We found a way to do it. The only thing that might change this week is how Southampton play, because I think they would like to play five at the back, but they saw us against Tottenham, who were five at the back, and we absolutely tore them to shreds. For 15 minutes, they couldn't get near us.
Yeah.
And until they made that change, they couldn't, because, like I keep saying, they wanted our fullbacks at the ball, because in any other team in the world, you go, you know what, when they've got these three superstars up front, I'd rather those two over there have the ball, thanks. And
you say the picky poison thing doesn't just relate to the front three; it relates to the entire 11. Yeah. You've got to choose one of the. You know, you've got to let someone have the ball, and you've got a preference which that player is going to be. And in most clubs, it's a centre half. Like it'd be Lovren. You know what I mean? Let's be honest. Or it would be.
It's Matip,
you know,
out of half, back four.
Or Matip, or you know whomever. You know, it would have been Klein back in the day, etc., etc. Really, I mean, even if it's Matip now, he's just going to bomb 40 yards up the pitch and slalom through a bunch of guys. You know what I mean? This is the thing, is that you kind of what you're driving at is that, particularly our fullbacks, that's why Trent Alexander-Arnold is so good. And that's why I've seen a few people mention, oh, maybe he's a bit weak defensively. It's completely irrelevant. It doesn't matter, because on the balance of things, him, all the good things that he brings are far more important than any potential limitations.
Yeah. If I was them, I'd actually go the other way. I'd actually try and get us to play through them. That's how I would try and stop Liverpool.
But that's where Liverpool are at the best.
And there is. And you've got to just hope that
Dependent on midfield.
You've got to hope that you get a block in front of a shot, or one of those little flicks doesn't always come off. Because this game last year, was it when Roberto Firmino does a flicked back heel over someone's leg for...
Yeah, it was. Through. Just went wide, didn't he?
No, I think he set someone up, didn't he, with a little flip through to Salah.
Salah was the one where Salah did that mad back heel wasn't it?
We've had all these kind of things, so you've got to hope that doesn't pay off. I think it's really dangerous to let Trent have the ball as much as you and Robertson have the ball as much. So, like I say, it is pick your poison, and that's why I'll be confident going into every game, and I'll think we're going to win every single game that we play, because
Well, they've got to, haven't they?
Well, yeah, we've got no choice, but I just think there's enough in us to do something. You know, it isn't a fluke that we score 8 goals, it isn't a fluke that we've got men in the box getting crosses in.
You can't rely on those things happening. No. So you know, it's obviously Liverpool do need to kick on, but you can create the environments in which those things are more likely to happen.
Yeah.
And that's what Liverpool have been doing this season. You know, a bit of pressure right now, of course, being, you know, we're not at Anfield, so that will be to our detriment, and we don't have a great record of going to grounds where the opposition that create amazing atmospheres. I think of Huddersfield, we've struggled big time in that. I think Swansea last season was an absolute disgrace. You know, we were just totally and utterly blitzed by them at times during that. So there will be a completely different challenge. But you know, how we play on the field and what the pressure that we put them under, you force them to make those mistakes. And my hope for this, Dad, is that the Alderweireld Spurs thing has, I mean, it's already got very great similarities with the Origi Everton kind of situation, obviously late goal, bit dramatic winner, etc. But what that did was that spark, that run in December.
It sort of, it must be psychologically, it must give you a real boost to drag 3 points out of one,
yeah,
basically. And, you know, it must make, that thing about your names on the title, you know, it's stupid. But psychologically, it can be really important for players.
Yeah.
They can. It's like people thinking they're invincible.
Yeah.
You know, they go into war thinking, I can't be shot.
Yeah.
You know, because something hit them and their cigarette lighter stopped it from killing them or something. Yeah. And it's just like that.
Yeah.
You go in, you've got a boost, and you go into the next game thinking, we can't be beaten.
Yeah.
You know, no one.
Provided.
And we've only lost one game all season, so yeah. You know.
And it's not just Liverpool that are doing this too. It seems that we're playing against, you know, we think back to that Bournemouth Carrius game where they beat us a couple of years ago and stuff. That was the thing back then. That was Liverpool will drop points late in game if you keep the pressure on them.
Yeah.
Now it's not that. It's the complete opposite of that. You're going into this going, fucking hell, we've got to defend for 95 minutes here and it's getting, the pressure's building up and it's building up and it's building up. And at some point, we think we're going to crack and Liverpool will get the goal.
And the good thing, sorry, Dan, the good thing about this is that this is not one of those situations where, like, X Factor, when you get some lad gets through the first round because he sings Hit Me Baby One More Time with his throat, and he gets through because he's cute and he gets through on luck, and then he goes into the main thing thinking he can win it. This is Liverpool. This is an amazing Liverpool side who've come through with that under the belt. This is not like a side that's going to get complacent off the back of it. You're right. You're walking in with 10 foot tall, walking in feeling invincible, in addition to the fact that we've got a brilliant defence, a brilliant goalkeeper,
you're invincible. As Chris says, that they're thinking we're going to be defending all game. But they also must know that if they attack, they're going to get hit on the break.
Yeah.
So that's going to make them think, well, maybe we should defend all game.
You mentioned before, Paul, about you know, nerves or like getting their crowd into the game. I think the team we've got now, we're better at that, in that we don't look nervy for a start. I think the goalie could do a kick up the arse, so if he wants to not do what he did at the weekend, that'd be great. Because if you see that as a home fan, you see the other team's goalie doing that, it gives you a boost. But see every time a ball comes into the box and Van Dijk heads it away, or Alisson catches it, or every kick he plays out is to feet and there's no stupidity at the back, it's just demoralising for the team, especially when they're not as good as you, because they're thinking, well, we haven't really got a sniff. Whereas it, like Chris mentioned before, there was a while where lesser teams thought, just keep the pressure on Liverpool, one of them will fuck up, and then when they do, we'll get on their case and they'll do it again and again and again.
Yeah.
I think we look less likely to make mistakes. B, it doesn't look like it bothers us as much. You know, Van Dijk laughs at the Fulham goal. He just goes, one of them saws.
Yeah.
And we'll go and beat these now.
And enjoyed it more than Babel did.
Yeah, I was thinking, that's what you need to do in these teams. Don't give them anything that, you know, they can latch onto. Like I say, Alisson, hopefully someone had a word with him after Tottenham and said, whatever you were doing, mate, let's just not do that again.
Right.
We'll do everything good. And other than that, there's no one in there who you think, Christ, there's no one you think, Christ almighty, he's a liability, we can get on his case if you're a home fan. Because we got on Lloris's case. The crowd the other day were all over him.
Yeah.
Our players must think he's shit because we just kept trying to stand next to him all the game and push him. So there's obviously something in the build in there that makes you think he's a target.
Yeah.
I don't think we've really got that player anywhere, which is a helper when you go to away games.
It must be terrible for Hasenhüttl or whatever his name is to think, what can we do?
Yeah.
How can we get a break in this game?
The only issue...
Who do you target? I mean...
You go after Matip, don't you? And the Matip-Trent partnership.
I think they might... They look at the way we play and think there must be space behind those fullbacks. That's where we'll go. And they'll find it's wrong.
There is space there, but Gini Wijnaldum's hopefully full James Milner.
Van Dijk covers so well.
But Van Dijk plays left behind at the same time.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yeah, it's...
The other thing that's really important is how this affects City. Because although they're going to play Cardiff and presumably move ahead of us on the table... They've got a cup game this weekend, so we play and they don't. And that means that the pressure starts to build up for when they do.
Yeah.
And they're going to play someone worthy soon.
Yeah.
You know, they're playing Cardiff at the moment, but and sometime soon they're going to hit Tottenham and United and Burnley away, Crystal Palace away. You know, they're going to start to find they've got difficult games.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But I wasn't going to mention this, but I was on Facebook this morning and I got a targeted ad from Manchester City to buy semi-final tickets. I don't know how they're targeting football fans from the northwest or something. It's ridiculous.
FA Cup semi-final.
They're paying on Facebook to advertise to a Liverpool fan. For some reason, and size picked one up as well.
I got one.
That they've got semi-final tickets still on sale.
It's not just semi-final tickets. It was some other game as
well. To be fair, than in Wembley every other week. They probably bought them.
It's ridiculous that they can't sell this out.
But I come back to this, you know, because I laugh at the whole empty head thing all the time.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, Road to Glory. It's a beautiful graphic. Book seats today from £30 for adults and £20 for under 18s.
They're not paying for not paying us to advertise them, like, looking at
really?
But the thing is, it is what it is. The problem with Man City is that they're a shell of a fucking massive football club, but not at the heart, they're not. You know, it's not.
And that's what's supposed
to have enough fans. They don't have enough fans to sell out Wembley, and people go, well, it's the price and blah, blah, blah. It's definitely a bit of that. You know, football costs a lot of money, sure, but they're just a small football club with all the trappings around it. It's not the same with the League Cup
final when they were there. They were struggling to sell all their tickets.
It's one of them, isn't it? It's that we have to play on that a little bit. In that it would be really, you know, we're a juggernaut as a club. And to be fair, City have got, you know, they've got more money than us. They have got a better squad than us. They've probably got the best manager of a generation. So what they haven't got is that's what we have to play on. And I keep saying it every time I mention it, but they're not the strongest mentally fan base. They still have their very scars. A bit like us, to be honest, at times.
They've got scars.
And
fatalists.
They have a little bit, you know, typical cities are saying, they say a lot. And it's up to us to play on it. So we, like I say, when John says, go ahead of them in the league, and when they go to United away, or they have to play Tottenham, or they have to play Palace, they know that they can't slip up. And then it gets, we want their atmosphere being a little bit like Leicester at home was for us. It was bad, and it had an effect. And listen, City are brilliant, and they might just win every game, regardless if in an empty stadium or not. But it's up to us to put the pressure on them, and it starts on Friday.
Yeah, their fans still want to win the Premier League more than the Champions League.
It's the bread and butter.
But the club wants to win.
But the club wants to win the Premier League.
The fans, you know, when they see us putting pressure on them and knocking them off the top spot and all the rest of it, that makes them desperate.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think they'll care if Tottenham beat them in the Champions League.
Pep got asked, didn't he, what did you think when Liverpool scored? And he said, ah, shit.
Yeah.
I could just imagine him being there on Mother's Day with his wife or
something. Choking on his lamp.
Yeah. there's a fucking Yankee candle just gets thrown at the wall. Because that's what everyone gets. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we just want to keep doing it to them, because I've been in that situation with Man United before. I remember Makeda scores that goal and I just went, and I put myself through the absolute ringer of it, and now I won't watch them because I don't have it.
Yeah.
There'll be a time when I do watch it, but for now it's not. And we just keep needing to put the pressure on, because the good thing for City is they do have that little buffer at the minute, and it's on them to slip up, not us, so we can't.
Yeah.
And that's why Friday's massive. I do think that it's of the game, I think it's actually probably a harder game than Chelsea at home would be. I think going to Southampton on a Friday night, you know, the state that they are in and what Chelsea are in. It's a big, big game.
I agree. I think it's probably our toughest game left.
I agree, yeah.
You know, it's certainly our toughest away game.
Yeah.
It's a big one. I don't think we can play like we played the Fulham game after we scored and the Spurs game after we scored. I don't think we can do
This is what I'm kind of driving at, that whole, like, what we want to do is take heart and hope we have a similar thing to December, where, you know, I genuinely felt going into that Everton game, like, you know, Everton were really good in that game, and we were just not quite at it. And it felt like, because the big worry leading up to that was, are we not scoring enough goals? Are we as good this season as we were last season, etc., etc., etc.? And it felt like Liverpool were on a downward arc. And then we got that by the jammiest of jammy goals. And then we kicked on, and we won eight on the bounce in December, like absolutely unprecedented. But we started to score goals in that period. We started to batter teams as well. That's my hope with this. And look, I'm not sure this will be that game, but your hope is, this is why the first half's vital for me. Go and get if you can just get a couple of goals up, because that's where we've fallen foul. That's where Fulham, we made hard work of Fulham by not getting that extra goal. Same with Spurs. Because they're in the relegation bite, you're right, because it's a bit of a free hit. If you get those couple of goals up, you want them all going, oh, well, fine. We didn't expect to get anything from this. Our focus becomes the next game and the game after that, because they're not expected to win this. If you give them a sniff, I think they'll be like a dog with a bone. They'll run us ragged till the 90-whatever minute. You've got to get this. You've got to put a bit of daylight between us and them, and hope for the
best. I think making sure that, I agree with you on the first half stuff, just to make sure that the fans are not on their side, yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think that's the big thing for me. I am not expecting games where Liverpool win 4-5-0 between now and the end of the season. I just don't think it's going to happen at all. I think the pressure's too much, and genuinely 3 points is the most important thing. You can look at Manchester United last night. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is talking about how the performance was much better at the weekend. Help him. Performance doesn't matter at this stage of the season. It's literally the points that matter.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm happy to sit through any type of a football match as long as we get 3 points, nice. Because that's what it's got to be about.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. Give me what, six more of those at the weekend. I'll take that. I'll take us winning in the 90th minute every single time. I don't, you know, I'll be a wreck. But you know, I don't. You're right. We have to live through it, because we've got no choice but to live through it. You know, ultimately the reward.
I'd see a few off though, wouldn't it? There'd be a few fellas seen off if we get 90 minutes.
Yeah.
You win the Premier League and they just end the season ticket.
You might have to. I can't do this again, lads.
Yeah, watch the game in the local gyms where the Oliver King Foundation provided the defibrillators. Make sure you're nearby to one of those. Go and watch it at your local school or whatever, just to make sure you're safe. You know, sit in the car, watch it on your phone outside A&E. Just so you don't have to go too far. But no, it will be that.
It's a plan to cull the season ticket waiting list.
Yeah.
See if
you oh my God, there's going to be so many new faces in the upper categories next season. Oh, hello, mate. Right? Just like the next generation all comes in. Yeah, great.
Just don't do what Tommy did. Well, don't hand it back. Just don't give it up.
No. Don't give it up. Never give you a ticket up. Actually, funny enough, just a random one. I got asked the other day, like, "Are you got a season ticket?" Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you want to give the name and the membership number? Is no, 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 no. Right, we're gonna do preferred 11s in a moment, but before we do, we've got a brand new podcast. We have totally revamped, reinvigorated the weekly Red Men TV Red Men Radio podcast. Here's a little clip. Go and check it out.
I'm just happy we don't have to play them three times. It's like City are going to be in trouble. Like, that's one thing that told me about this game is I think we were saying Spurs are going to be a difficult game, but we've all said in the past, especially when the draw was happening, oh, we beat Spurs. I'd be happy with a Spurs draw. Mm-hmm. It felt like the exact same as what happened last season when we went in 1-0 and I was like, they're going to come out a different team. They're going to come out and we're going to be under the cosh. And it's exactly what happened. And that gives me belief that I think they could do a job against City.
But you look at the league table now after the Arsenal game yesterday as well. You know, with Arsenal going above Tottenham Hotspur, Tottenham and Chelsea vying for fourth in the Premier League. Race for fourth now will directly affect the Premier League title.
Yeah.
And you know what? We obviously have to play Chelsea as well, but they have to play two of those sides. Yeah. And we've got to be looking at that going, that's a great result for Liverpool because we've actually put Tottenham further back into
points
the mix.
Points on the board again, isn't it? That's the thing about the Spurs one, by hook or by crook. And something you said, in the week leading up to, Chris, getting those points on the board, that's all that really matters. There's going to come a point where style and goals, you know, we're entering territory where it'd be nice to have our goal difference be a bit better. We worry about that in a couple of weeks' time. Right now, just keep doing it, keep getting the wins, keep making them think twice. Okay, preferred 11 times. Steve, what have you gone with?
Yeah, mate, I think back four as normal, front three as normal. Again, every time I've sat on here, the only decision really is who plays in midfield, isn't it? I've gone Fabinho, Wijnaldum, Lallana in this one, which, again, it's more a case of I do think we need a little bit more on the front foot. I don't think we need to be as cautious as we were against Tottenham. And Lallana leads the press well. I think Southampton will try and play a little bit.
He's due a big game against them.
Yes. I want to put Keita in, but the manager, for some reason, the manager doesn't trust him. So it's hard for me to trust him if the manager doesn't trust him. Yeah. I'll back Jürgen a little bit. I think Keita, talent wise, gets into our best 11, but obviously, for whatever reason, Jürgen's not picking him. So
I agree. Depending on how they play, if they go three at the back and they're going to look to get as much width as possible, you're going to need your midfield to do a bit of cover. I think Lallana can do that. He's got the work rate to do it if needs. I mean, don't get me wrong, I don't want him in the right back position by any hook or by crook, but Keita feels to me like a. Yeah, last 15 or something,
next season, Kate.
Yeah. God, what's your midfield?
Everything else is exactly the same. I've gone with Fabinho,
yeah.
Henderson, and Ginny.
Okay.
Because I think Jürgen is going to be pragmatic for the rest of the season. I think
he's a cautious man, isn't he?
That's what's going
to
happen.
Which is mad, because I'm not sure fits in with people's understanding of him. Like, but no, I think that there's a sense of that kind of similar to what I was just saying there and what we did against Spurs. It gives you. I'd like to see Henderson deployed a bit more free. You know, he got rave reviews in his very brief cameo, didn't he, for England? Chris,
well, his energy levels let him be a sort of box to box, don't they? So why shackle him to?
Definitely. I've
changed it up. I've gone back to 4-2-3-1 for this game. Sure. I think I remember that, you know, the last time out we played 4-2-3-1, we got three goals up against Southampton before we changed it and stuff. I want to see Origi on the left hand side. I want to see Mane back on that right hand side. I want to see Salah in the 9. And I want to see Firmino in the 10. And I backed them up with Fabinho and Wijnaldum. And I think the one problem with the 4-2-3-1 against them last time out was we didn't have that level of control, but we hadn't been playing it very much at the time. And it was a new system to us. Whereas I think we, with Fabinho, with Wijnaldum, you get that level of control that Jürgen probably wants. You get Salah in that number 9 position. And to be honest, I just want to confuse their manager.
Yeah.
You know, he's a good manager. We know what he did with RB Leipzig last season and stuff. And we know what he's done in the Bundesliga. So for him to start the game and then be like, oh, shit, he's fucking mixed it up.
Yeah.
I think that will just throw Southampton off, and it's a perfect time to do that.
I just go mad. Just throw Shaqiri and Keita and everyone. All the Liverpool fans go, what? Because everyone's going, well, they're done. There must be something wrong with them. They must have some sort of debt. You know what I mean? If they've ruined their careers or whatever. So just throw them in out the cold would be amazing. I've not gone with that, by the way. I've gone exactly the same as you Steve. Obviously, the only doubt, I think, in a wider sense is on Van Dijk, but he did come out and say, it hurts. It hurts, but
I was hurt 5 minutes ago, but I'll be fit.
Yeah, he went in goal in training. So it looked all right, didn't he?
It looked good. Like.
My thing with that is, if there is a doubt, and not in Van Dijk's mind, I think you take the season out of his hands, to be honest with you. If there is a doubt that he can aggravate something and then he might miss one or two games later in the season, then this is a game that I actually would be putting Lovren in for, and maybe Joe Gomez on the bench.
The medics make the decision.
I think it was more it was a knock, it was a kick to the ankle rather than anything. You know,
okay, ligament.
Yeah, so... I'd actually get him through it, and if he has to miss Porto, I'd rather him actually miss Porto.
Yeah.
I think at this moment in time, the league's more important.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because we talked about that, who you target, etc., etc. Lovren would be who you target for Southampton. You know, if they come in,
the fans certainly do.
Absolutely. Well, if you had Lovren and Lallana in a team, that's the one thing we talk about: winning the crowd. You know, and quieting the crowd.
Don't have Lallana.
It's like having Sterling in the team for Man City. You can't quiet the crowd when you've got players that they genuinely hate in the team.
That's a reason. That could be a reason not to put.
I want to see Gomez on the bench in this game, and I'm hopeful that he will be on the bench this game.
My thought is, you know, with the Lallana stuff, is as mentioned, if they want us to play wide, great, we'll play wide. You know, we know Lallana can go over and link up with either side, because we just kind of let him play a bit of a free role when he goes in there. And if we want to create through the middle, I think he helps us. If they're gonna sit in, they're gonna sit deep or whatever. Lallana, we've been so much better, and I do feel as though Lallana is being primed for these games, for those other 14 teams in the
Fulham
league.
Fulham and Burnley Saturday, it looks so, like maybe there is a thing that you're gonna play against the lesser teams.
Maybe.
Okay, the atmosphere thing will be, especially with the old Boo Van Dijk and he'll laugh. I don't think Lallana really particularly cares either. It doesn't look like he's ever done his head in, really. So.
Yeah.
I think it would do. I think it can get to Lovren, which I'll probably be leaving him out because there is a shout for Lovren to come back in.
Yeah.
I think I'd leave that for now.
I'm in for Lallana and then awaiting the Lallana 65th minute substitution and him playing the full 90 and scoring the winner in the 94th minute when they're all going, well, Lallana's dead on his feet, he should be getting subbed off about now, and then he crops up. I'm here for that. Score predictions, Steve?
3-1, but a bit like the Burnley away where it was 2-1 and close, and then we see it late.
Okay.
3-0.
Yeah. 2-0. I'll take a 3-0 as well. I think two in the first half and then one to kill it off in the last minute. Mo Salah to finally do it again. Ready later on. I'll have that. Let us know your predictions for both the starting 11 and the score in the comments section underneath. Make sure you go and check out the brand new podcast. It was an absolute belter. And if you want more content, get over to theredmentv.com. Chris mentioned it there, stats and tactics. You want to know a little bit more about how teams are defending against Mo Salah. You did a special this week on the fullbacks as well.
Yeah, the role of how they're reinventing the role of the modern fullback.
There you go. So if you're into all that stuff, get over to the website. It's free for the first month, so you can try it out, see how you get on with it all, and then it's just £5 a month thereafter. Other than that, thank you very much. We'll be back with more stuff in and around the match. Make sure you're there too. Gentlemen, thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure. Ta-da.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.